Hi, we're very pleased to have our interim moderator, Reverend Barry Gilbreth, with us this evening. It's the first time Barry's been here at our prayer meeting. We give you a very warm welcome, not that you need it really, you're here now. We look forward now to hearing, Barry, what you have to say to us from the Word of God.
Thanks very much, Kathy.
Thank you, it's good to be with you here this evening. By the way, I should say that I was speaking to Alec Chambers just the other day, and Alec really enjoyed fellowship with you here last Lord's Day, and he appreciated the warmth of the fellowship and the friendship that he was shown. So I just thought I'd mention that to you. It encouraged him, and I trust that you were blessed through his ministry. Now, by way of explanation, I should say that I'm departing from my normal format this evening. Usually I take a book of scripture and work through it in my preaching, and very often do the same thing in our meetings on a Tuesday night in Rathfrieland. But the subject tonight doesn't really lend itself to that, in the sense that there are various passages, various verses of 1 Peter that I want to refer you to as we go along. So if you have your Bible open at 1 Peter, you'll find this helpful. And as I say, the subject itself requires that kind of approach. I'm sure, and it's been reflected, if I may say so, in the prayers that we've heard this evening. We're all concerned about our nation, and we're concerned about where we're going. And I thought it would be helpful and useful to look at the world that we live in today and why the world is the way it is and what we as believers should think about it. And I think it's a subject that particularly younger people will need to understand. We all need to understand it. But increasingly, I believe there's good evidence to show that our world is going to get worse. By our world, I'm talking about our Western world, and particularly our own country. And things are happening which you couldn't have conceived of 10 years ago, or maybe 20 years ago. So the challenge of living as a Christian in our modern world is a wee bit like getting lost in your car. And maybe that's happened to you, and you've stopped and you've said to the person beside you, where in the world are we? And in a way, that's what we need to think about. Where in the world are we? Or where is the world that we are living in? Where are we going? And why are the things happening that are happening? 1 Peter, the letter of 1 Peter, of course the whole Bible, but 1 Peter can be a great help to us when we're faced with this kind of thing, as individual believers, and indeed as part of the Church of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter is like a road map. It's like sat-nav. It can guide us through the world of today. Of course, it was written 2,000 years ago or so. But it's God's word. And so it can guide us in the modern world. That's because the truths that it teaches are timeless. And those truths are of particular relevance, I believe, to where we find ourselves today. So where is the world today? Why is it the way it is? And where are we? Let me give you a few examples that will introduce this. Are you puzzled by some of the things that happen in today's world? For example, do you wonder why so many people reject the supernaturalism of the Bible and of Christianity? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8 says this, that the Lord Jesus Christ is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So Peter is living at a time when people were being disobedient to the word of God, and where the gospel and where the Lord Jesus Christ was offensive. He says here, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offence. Hugh was telling me about the meeting there and the parade in Belfast that he attended, and how people were mocking the preaching. The gospel is offensive. Christ is offensive in today's world. So this isn't anything new, of course, but Peter understood that, and he writes about it, and he's writing to people who were living through those kind of times, just as we are, so he can be very helpful. But let me give you a couple of other examples. Are you puzzled by the statement that there are more than two genders? Chapter 2, verse 11. Peter says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." You're strangers and pilgrims. We're strangers and pilgrims in today's world, which teaches that, you know, there are more than two genders. I'm not sure how many there are now exactly, but at the last count there were something like 80, at least in California. And there was not so much amused, is perhaps the wrong word, but at Synod there was one or two people referred to LGBT. And I thought, it's gone beyond that. It then became the LGBTQ, but it's not that any longer. It's now the LGBTQ+. And I even came across one recently that's the LGBTQ++. There are so many supposed genders. Why are things like that happening? Because of lust and the type of things that Peter will talk about. Or another example, do you find it strange that words that were used by your generation to mean one thing have either been redefined or even banned from polite conversation? Words like marriage have been redefined. When the Bible talks about marriage, we clearly know what that's about. And Peter gives counsel about marriage, but he's using it in a different way to the way it's used today. Words like marriage then have been redefined. Even things like, you can't say crippled any longer. That became handicapped. And then it became disabled. And you wonder, well, what's the difference? But you know, that too will even be banned eventually. Because instead, you will be supposed to say differently abled. And indeed, I've even seen that phrase been used in one particular Christian magazine that I was reading a few months ago. And I'm not saying that's wrong as such, but why the redefinition of ordinary words? You're not supposed to say a coloured person. No, that's offensive. Instead, you must say a person of colour. What's the difference? Oddly, it's okay to say a white person. You don't have to say a person of whiteness. But perhaps the worst one coming our way, possibly soon, it's already in America, is the word incest. And that's to be banned by the language police. You see, incest could offend people, we're told, who are in a loving, incestuous relationship. There's a mother and son in America who are demanding the right to marry. That word incest suggests that there's something warped, perverted, evil in such a relationship, so you're not to use it. Do you know what you're supposed to use instead? You're supposed to use the abbreviation GSA, which means genetic sexual attraction. I'm not kidding. That has been seriously proposed in the United States of America. And I'm not making this up. I'm not trying to be sarcastic. But that's the kind of world we are living in. In Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3 we read, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. So if you, as a believer, do not go down that route, and do not use that kind of language, and do not accept that those things are right, then you will be like the people that Peter writes about in his day. You will be regarded as a pariah. That's the world we're living in. That's the world that our children are being brought up in. Is it any wonder that people, my mum's 93, Christian lady of 93, she only became a Christian when she was about 81. But she said to me, Barry, has the world gone mad? Well, there are reasons why the older generation think the world has gone mad, because there are reasons for all of these things. They haven't just happened by chance. And so Christians and Christian churches need to understand some things about the world we live in, so that we ourselves, of course, get it right, but so that we understand where people are coming from, why they're doing these things, what our young people are being faced with, and so on. Where our world is, why it is that way, where Christians are in relation to our world, what Christians can say to that world, how we can hold on to what I would call Christian sanity in a world going insane. Has the world gone mad? My mother said, and in a way she's right. First Peter helps us to do that. It can inform us and it can encourage us. It can help us to think as Christians in this world. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. He says, he's just talked about various things there. But then he goes on to say, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up the loins of your mind. Let your mind be ready for action, in other words. Think about what's happening today. Think about what's happening today in the light of the word of God. Think as a believer. Act as a believer. Peter has a fair bit to say about that, but just to give you an example of it, chapter 4 at verse 14. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, and that's what's happening to believers today, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, on the part of the world, he is evil spoken of. But on your part, he is glorified. Isn't that encouraging? Yes, they spoke evil of him back then, and of his people back then. It's no different today. Think as a Christian, act as a Christian. Verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So, if you suffer because you stand for what is true and noble and right and biblical and so on, don't be ashamed. Act on the word of God. Live as a believer in this present evil world. Chapter 2, verse 12, just again to give you one example. He says, having your conversation, your way of life, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. They speak against you as evildoers. I don't know if any of you are familiar with Alex Jones who runs a channel on the internet. Now, as far as I'm aware, Alex Jones is not a believer. He's not a Christian. And you may or may not agree with everything he says. I've listened to him on occasions and have agreed with quite a lot of what he said. There's other things I wasn't so sure about. However, his site has been taken down. YouTube, Twitter, and so on. He's been blocked. Now, he's a worldwide phenomenon. I mean, there are millions of people watch him. He's been blocked. And do you know one of the reasons? There was a group in America, and they got children together. And they dressed the little boys as little girls, and the little girls as little boys. All to teach the children that there are more than, you know, just the two genders. And then they got those children to, excuse me for saying this, but I have to explain this. They got those children to go through the motions. They didn't actually do it, but they sort of go through the motions of stripping off their clothes. Now, they didn't actually do it, but it was supposedly done this way. To show that there's little boys, little girls, you can mix them all up. Alex Jones on his channel said that was an abomination. And as I say, I don't know whether the man's a believer. I don't think he is. But he was absolutely right. And you know why his channel was taken down? Because they said that was hate speech against people of different genders. Hate speech. And he was trying to stand up for sanity, for what is right with little children. That's what's happening in parts of our world today. Somebody once said to me, Barry, the lunatics are running the asylum. I don't agree with that. I think the lunatics have escaped from the asylum and they're trying to run our world. You don't believe me? Let me give you a couple of examples. Well, maybe you do believe me. But let me give you a couple of examples. A leading academic in a Danish university has said that incestuous relationships shouldn't be regarded as wrong where it involves consenting and loving adults. Insanity. A Green Party member of the German Parliament recently began a speech, not with the usual Meine Herren und Damen, which just means I did German in school, I've forgotten most of it, but it means basically, dear ladies and gentlemen. But he began a speech with, dear ladies and gentlemen, dear transgender people, dear gender fluid people, dear non-binary people, etc., 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 through about 30 different so-called genders before he actually came to his speech. And the German Parliament had to sit and listen to this utter nonsense. Insanity. The Washington Post is one of America's leading leftist newspapers. And one of the Post's columnists actually wrote this. This is someone who's paid a big salary. She wrote that in the interests of gender equality, she would no longer be referring to her cats as he or she. Her cats were neither male nor female. They were gender neutral. And she expects that friends calling at her house will not address her cats as he or she. Insanity. And she's been paying a huge salary to write that kind of stuff by the Washington Post. Now you might think these examples that I've given you are extreme. But we have to watch very carefully. Peter says in chapter 4 and verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. Now he's not meaning don't get drunk. He's not meaning sober in that sense. He means sober in your mind. Sober minded. And he says watch unto prayer. God's people need to be prayerfully watchful and sober minded about what is happening in our world today. More and more people are being conned by propaganda in the world today. They're not being taught history as it should be taught. A survey was done recently among American high school students, and something like 40% of them said they thought Stalin was a wonderful man. Where did they get that idea? Stalin was responsible for the murder of far more people than even Adolf Hitler. Stalin was responsible, it's reckoned, for the murder of about 90 million people. 90 million or thereabouts. Why did these young people in America think that Stalin was some hero? Because that's what they're being taught in school, or in some of the schools. And so Peter describes his Christian readers, as we saw in 1 verse 1, as pilgrims, sojourners and pilgrims, strangers and pilgrims. Chapter 2, verse 11. That's what we are in our world today. Brothers and sisters, we're dinosaurs in the eyes of the world. We're just out of touch, they would say. We're just living in the past, they would say. No, we're living in Christ. We're living in accordance with the scriptures. And we are the same ones. It's the world that's going mad. The world thinks because we hold to God's word and want to be obedient to it, that we are crazy. The world thought similar things in Peter's day of his people. And Peter, you know, as I've already indicated, was trying to encourage them and comfort them and help them in all of these different ways. He says that they're like people on a journey. That's what we are. We're on a journey. We're on a journey to meet him. But that doesn't mean that we run away from the world that we live in. Rather, we bring the gospel to it. We bring the word of God to it. To confront it, to correct it, and to bring the wonderful, glorious, liberating gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 3 and verse 15, here's what Peter says. He says, well, we'll read from verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Don't you be like the world, he says. Don't you go their way. You be without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. So he's saying here, listen, the gospel will free you. The gospel is what brings us away from the sinful world to a new kind of living, to a new kind of thinking, to a new kind of life. Christ corrects craziness. Christ brings sanity by bringing salvation. The world says the opposite. The world says if you're saved, you're insane. I'm not saying everybody in the world says that, but there are people who do. Must have gone out of his mind. He became a believer. Oh, that woman. Sure, she's a nutcase. All she does is talk about Jesus of Nazareth. But we are the same ones. Christ corrects these things. Christ brings liberty. Christ brings real love. We're told that you must not question the idea that there are more than two genders, because that wouldn't be loving. You must not question the whole supposedly gay movement, for that wouldn't be loving. But you see, Christ's word is true love. Christ brings real love, salvation to individuals, and thus salvation to nations too, to the people of nations. So never be ashamed to be a full-blown, thoroughgoing follower of the Lord Jesus Christ in our wicked world. It was such people and their allies who built our Western civilization. One of the things that Alec Jones said, and it's quite correct, he said Western civilization was built on the Judeo-Christian heritage. Now, there were other influences and so on as well. But essentially, that's correct. But that's been thrown away. It was Christian people and those who were allied with them who built our civilization. and gave us our freedoms. It was covenanters who died for Christ and his crown and his covenant. And although they may not have been aware of it in their own day, obviously, they didn't have time machines. They couldn't look to see what would happen in the future. But in many ways, they laid the foundation of what would later happen in our country. Without the Reformation, where would we be today? So again, the Reformation and what happened there was one of, at least to a degree, one of the building blocks of our modern times, our modern world. And so the fact is that the world desperately needs more believers to bring Christ and his gospel, to rebuild our civilization, and to reach out to other peoples, to liberate us from all the isms that we're enduring today and that are enslaving our people and that have darkened their minds. Christ can make those people free. Christ is the light of the world, and how we need that light today. The three men who led us in prayer prayed for our nation. How our nation needs prayer in these dreadful days in which we live. Well, I trust you understand why I jumped about a bit there, bringing different scriptures in. There are other passages there in 1 Peter. If you go home and read it, you'll see the relevance of it. But God willing, next time I'm here, we'll look at in a little more detail at why the world is where it is. And then, all being well, we look on another occasion what we can say as believers in this present evil world. I trust you found that helpful. I trust it stimulated your thinking. And also trust that it hasn't depressed you too much, because it can't be. You can get down, can't you, when you hear and see the things that are going on. But always remember, Peter's aim, as he was dealing with similar things, was not to discourage God's people, but to show them, to help them understand the kind of world they were living in and the kind of world that they'd been converted from, and how then Christ had set them free, and therefore they should be encouraged and should not be ashamed to stand up for Jesus Christ and for his truth. That was part of Peter's thrust in this great letter. And so I trust as we look at it, God willing, in the future, and maybe sometimes we will be jumping about a wee bit in the letter, other times we'll maybe be looking at a specific passage. But as we do that, I trust that it'll help you, that it'll help you to be drawn closer to Christ himself, to rely more and more on him. Because, you know, brothers and sisters, if we rely on our politicians, we're finished. Yeah, I know some are godly people, and I'm not taking away from that. But the general run of things is that we cannot rely on the arm of flesh. It will fail us. We cannot rely on our politicians. We can rely on our Saviour. And we can pray to him for reformation and for revival in our nation. Perhaps at no other time in our country's history was revival so badly needed. But let's not be discouraged. Let's continue to look to him. Let's continue to pray to him. And let's continue to do what we can, even in our own small way, to commend the Saviour to people who are being bombarded day and daily by evil, godless, even satanic propaganda. Let's tell them the truth. Amen.